Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look at the plight of the counties. Stone has the rundown.
Our guest today, Jeff Fontaine from the Nevada Association of Counties.
And on the Power Pundit panel today, John Sandy IV, Tony Sanchez, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25%, and my rates haven't gone up in, oh, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Jeff Fontaine. He's Executive Director of the Nevada Association of Counties, better known as NACO. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Samantha.
One of the things that came up yesterday was the talk of home rule. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not sure exactly where it came up, but there is a bill. It's Senate Bill 385. That bill did pass the Senate yesterday, and basically that's a bill that came out of an interim committee to study powers delegated to local governments. That bill in particular would grant counties and cities the ability to have functional home rule.
Which means?
Well, functional home rule means the day-to-day administrative activities. For example, the ability to tow an abandoned vehicle from county property is the example that's used often to cite why it's important for the counties and cities to have that ability.
You mean normally you would have to have a legislature to be able to do that?
That's correct.
That's insane.
Well, there are a lot of bills like that. In fact, we, I think, have estimated something on the order of 10 to 15% of the bills BDR submitted each year to the legislature involve some sort of functional home rule issue.
I actually recall a conversation last session about the placement of orange traffic cones during construction in Las Vegas, which did not seem like a legislative issue. I have a copy of the bill here. Yesterday it did pass the Senate with 5 no votes, as a matter of fact. And perhaps this is why, because functional home rule in this particular bill is described as all other powers necessary or desirable in the conduct of county affairs, even though not granted by statute. I mean, that's a partial, that's an excerpt from all other functions necessary or desirable What does that mean, Jeff?
Well, again, there are several pieces to home rule in general. This bill does not include the ability for raising the counties and cities to raise taxes, which is commonly known as a fiscal home rule, or a structural home rule, the ability for counties and cities to form their governing bodies differently. Those are still legislative requirements under this bill. If it passes, basically the counties and cities would be allowed to undertake tasks, perform duties, unless they are prohibited by the legislature. Now, the legislature can still say, you know, we don't want you to do certain things, and they can pass laws to do that. But the way it works now, unless it's expressly granted by the legislature in statute, the counties and cities can't perform these particular activities.
A couple of people expressed the notion that this would be the camel's nose under the tent. And essentially, the study that this bill came from was Senator Terry Kerr's study. Terry Kerr is now termed out of the legislature. But his intent during that study was to grant full home rule. So how did this evolve down to simply one out of three aspects of home rule?
Well, you know, home rule is a large, very complex issue, and we are commonly known as a Dillon's Rule state. So again, the counties and cities cannot do things unless they're expressly granted by the legislature. During the study committee, which was chaired by Senator John Lee, who chairs the Senate Government Affairs Committee, there was a lot of discussion about how we can ease up on these requirements instead of having local governments have to come to the legislature every 2 years to ask permission to perform basic tasks. It was the consensus of the group that the way to do this is to sort of ease into it, grant these functional powers to the local governments and see how they do. One of the lobbyists during testimony on that particular bill referred to it as a learner's permit, and that's how we view it.
But really, the big one would be having the fiscal ability to raise taxes and revenues, without having to go to the legislature, and especially at a time when the governor and the legislature is looking to the counties and the cities to sweep as many funds as they can.
Well, that's not part of this bill.
Right.
I think that's for a future discussion.
But would you like to see that?
Not at this time.
Okay. Are there any counties that are doing well at this point fiscally?
Well, there are some counties that are doing okay, and of course those are the counties mostly that have active mines in their jurisdictions, and so they're doing okay. But you know, we have to remember that mining, and it's been discussed at great length this session, is a volatile industry. It's based upon the price of gold in the market, and it's based upon a lot of other factors, and so you know, they may be doing well today, and you look at their balance sheet, and they may have received a large payment in net proceeds of minerals taxes. But we all know how the mining industry works, and so we do have a number of counties that are doing okay based upon their mining activities.
And the majority leader, Senate Majority Leader, went after Mrs. Gansert on that the other day in the Committee of the Whole. This was last week. When discussing the 9-cent diversions to fund the universities, the property tax diversions in Washoe and Clark, and repeatedly asked her why would those same kind of diversions not apply to those counties where there are active mines, where they're doing well?
Well, first of all, it's our position at NACO that Washoe County and Clark County should not be singled out for the 9 cents in property tax diversion. We don't think that the counties in general should have to pay or have those revenues diverted, but we are supportive of Washoe and Clark County because that's a lot of money to their operations. And so to the extent that there needs to be a shared responsibility to help the state balance its budget, we think it needs to be shared, but to the extent that most of that revenue, we have estimated it's something in the order of $140 million. Most of it, of course, from Clark County, and about maybe $23 or $24 million estimated to come from Washoe County. That's a lot of revenue from those two counties.
Washoe and Clark, of course, have the benefit of having the two universities present in their boundaries.
Well, they do, obviously, but of course the universities serve the entire state.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jeff Fontaine when we come back.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time.
Feels like the first time.
So
get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection. Of the classic songs that live on forever. You can't get this massive 8-CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with the complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Prozac, or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
Call 1-800-237-1788. Don't delay. Call now.
Local entertainment. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeff Fontaine. He's the Executive Director of the Nevada Association of Counties, better known as NACO. We've had several elected officials on the program from various jurisdictions talking about how they're encumbering funds for various projects to avoid the state going after those funds and sweeping them. Is this actually legal?
Well, yeah, as long as they're being legally appropriated for certain purposes. Unfortunately, that's the situation that, some of the counties have found themselves in. They would prefer to maybe pay off some debt, finish off a construction project or something like that in order to obligate those funds and keep them from being diverted or swept.
But is this going to come back to bite the counties and the cities that do this?
Well, it's hard to say how that's going to work. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there, spending money on something that isn't a worthwhile project. But paying off debt is just something that's probably a smart thing to do if you can.
It's one of the hedges that the local governments are taking, and another one is the SJR 9 that you and I have discussed previously, which would require 2/3 majority in the legislature in order to take county money or city money. I assume that applies to cities as well.
That's correct. It applies to all local governments.
Are the local governments in open revolt? I mean, is this the... the legislature is such a politically correct place. You have to watch what you say, but is this the closest they'll come to open revolt?
Well, as you know, there was a local revenue advisory question on the ballot in the general election. It appeared in on the ballots in 16 of the 17
that
counties.
That was the one that was called Keep Your Hands Off My Money?
Pretty much. It was basically asking voters whether or not the consent of the local government should be obtained before the legislature can, decrease revenues or divert revenues or impose unfunded mandates on local governments. And again, local governments includes counties, cities, GIDs, school districts, and others. That did pass by a majority of about 56% statewide. And so SJR 9 basically takes that language and says that it would require a 2/3 vote of the legislature in order for that to happen. It would require the Constitution to be amended for that to happen. So, there's a lengthy process for that to occur. But our position is this, that, until there is a 2/3 majority for that to happen, for local revenues to be diverted or unfunded mandates placed on local governments, local governments are always going to be a convenient source of revenue because, as it stands now, it requires a two-thirds majority to raise taxes. So given the choices, it's an easy choice to take local revenues.
When you look at the number of teachers that potentially are going to be laid off, the Reno Gazette Journal this morning reporting perhaps as many as 200 teachers gone in Washoe County, reports of maybe as many as 5,000 in Clark County. Your thoughts about this and how it affects the local economy, because if you throw that many people out of work, now you've got unemployment, they're not spending money in local businesses.
Well, no question there's going to be an impact on the economy, but you have to remember that the counties that I represent have been doing this for 4 years. There are 1,500 vacant positions in Clark County government, 700 positions in Washoe County, and to a lesser extent, some vacancies and reduction in forces in the rural counties. And so adding to that, of course, it's going to have an impact on the local economies.
I want to just briefly revisit this two-thirds required proposition we were talking about a moment ago, because that seems to approach phase two, fiscal home rule. If you have counties and cities being able to say, you know, to influence legislative decisions to the extent that two-thirds is necessary.
Well, I'm not sure that it necessarily approaches fiscal home rule, but again, I think what we're trying to say is it puts us on an equal footing with the requirement to have to raise taxes. We would prefer to have the ballot advisory question put into the Constitution, which is it would require the consent of the local government before those revenues can be diverted or unfunded mandates placed on local governments. But we'll take the two-thirds.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Jeff Fontaine, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Hi, this is Jim Miner, and I'd like to invite you to the 11th annual Moms on the Run to aid Northern Nevada women in their fight against cancer. Join your friends at Reno High School's Foster Field on Mother's Day, May 8th. Race includes a 5 and 10K run, 3 and 5K bonbon walk and talk, the Fat Boy Shuffle, and the Kidlets Race. Register online at momsontherun.info or at either Pinocchio's locations in Reno and Sparks. And packet pickup is Saturday, May 7th at Reno High School. Moms on the Run, Mother's Day at Reno High's Foster Field.
Looking for a new job? Then check out the News 4 Career Center. Is this any way to clean a windshield? Well, it used to be the only way. But now there's the exciting new Windshield Wonder. The Windshield Wonder combines a microfiber cleaning cloth with a long handle and pivoting head to make windshield cleaning fast and easy. So easy, you don't even need glass cleaner. That's right. The Windshield Wonder cleans and shines glass with plain tap water. Amazing! Use the Windshield Wonder inside to clean mirrors, hard-to-reach windows, and more. Your Windshield Wonder order includes the handle, two microfiber bonnets, a microfiber towel, a spray bottle, even a handy storage pouch. That's a $20 value for just $10. But that's not all. Call now, and as a bonus, we'll double your order. Just pay separate shipping and handling. That's right. Get everything you see here, a $40 value for just $10. Call now.
To order by credit card, call 1-800-326-6508. You'll get a complete second set as a bonus with today's orders. So call 1-800-326-6508. That's 1-800-326-6508.
So you can't save money? That's easy as pie. Brown bagging lunch instead of going out. $6 save times 5 days a week times 10 years is $21,000. That's a lot of lettuce. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feedthepig.org.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Affairs with the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce. Tony Sanchez with NV Energy, Corporate Senior Vice President of Public Policy and External Affairs, and the longest title on the show today. And John Sandy, the fourth attorney with Jones Vargas. So yesterday there was a story from David McGrath Schwartz in the Las Vegas Sun, Tony. Green energy raise your electricity bill as legislature pursues renewables? NV Energy and others say consumers will pick up the tab. And I guess my question is, for us to get to this next generation of power, there has to be some kind of cost associated with that. And with California needing lots and lots of renewable energy, doesn't it make sense for us to be moving in that direction? And plus, NV Energy needs a higher portion of their portfolio to be renewable.
Certainly, Sam. And what we should start from the baseline that Nevada has one of the most successful track records in the nation for renewable energy, starting back in 1997 when the legislature passed a mandate to do renewables. You know, by then, our predecessor company, Sierra Pacific, we were already doing renewables a decade before. So we love this technology. It works. But, you know, we're number one in the country when it comes to certain forms of renewable energy, geothermal. We have large-scale solar. We have wind. We have a lot of great resources in Nevada. I think there's a misnomer, there's a perception that just because we're saying that certain forms of renewable energy shouldn't be set aside and singled out and mandated, that folks think that for some reason we're not in favor of renewable energy. Quite the contrary. It's a great business model. Nevada can be actually an exporter of this energy, like you said, to California and surrounding states that have just as a voracious appetite as we do.
Which ones do you not want to see move forward?
It's not a matter of not wanting to see any of them go forward. Under the current law today, 5% of our renewable energy has to come from solar. Last session, we supported the bill to move that to 6% by 2016 to use just solar. But the fact is, 11% of our portfolio right now is solar alone. What we can do with large scale at the same time, though, with large scale wind and solar, it's much more cost effective to meet the portfolio standard. So there are proposals from industry, not from legislators, from industry saying, let's mandate that you do this certain type of renewable energy, which is called distributed generation, at the expense of the more cost efficient large scale forms of energy. What that's going to end up doing, though, in the end, is we're going to have to meet our portfolio standard purely with distributed generation. And then the real more cost-effective, around-the-clock renewable energy, like geothermal up here, is going to end up getting shipped out of state and at a lower cost to folks in other states. And that's not good for our customers.
John, I see you nodding here.
Yeah, well, I think actually I was agreeing with the initial point that you made, and that maybe the short-term increase in cost, I think, overlooks the long-term benefit that we can receive from developing renewable energy resources and the ability to ship it out of state and develop and continue our research on it and to really hone that in and allow Nevada to become a leader in this industry. We have a unique opportunity, and I would imagine there will be some short-term costs associated with that, but the long-term benefits, I believe, will vastly outweigh those costs.
Sam, I think everybody agrees that we need to move forward with developing all these types of energy, but the fact remains is per kilowatt hour, some of these renewables are much more expensive than your more traditional, like coal. Especially, and so we're going to have to pay for that. And you know, as you know, the portfolio standard, as we move toward that, will make our energy more expensive. I'm not saying it's not worth it, but we just have to be prepared to do that. And that also ties into our economic development efforts too. The more expensive you make energy, how successful will we be in attracting new companies here? So we need to develop all these things, but I think we can't forget traditional forms of energy as well.
And there's no question that economic discussion of these energy sources has been eclipsed and has been unclear. And when you have Senator Schneider on this show a few days ago saying once you make the upfront investment, the energy is free, I think that's a bit of an oversimplification that everyone has made in order to kind of gloss past the cost.
I think what we found out, you know, it's a regional market for energy, and 10 years ago we saw what happened in California, and that had dire impacts in Nevada with respect to our energy industry, and that was something that our legislature studied very closely. We can do natural gas combined cycle per kilowatt hour for about 5 cents, all in, including transmission and distribution. There are proposals for feed-in tariffs that are in front of the legislature right now mandating that we pay 18.5 cents a kilowatt hour, you know, ratcheting down over the next 10 years. The simple fact is, through our RFP processes where we get our renewable energy from developers, they have to compete with each other. That necessarily drives the cost down, and we're seeing substantial decreases in costs to our customers. We're more just concerned with the set-asides that certain types of renewable energy are getting at the expense of other forms of renewable energy.
Would you respond to Trey about, you know, bringing businesses to the state?
That's something we certainly we are concerned about. You can't just look at the West and say what are the rates in California, which for the record are higher than they are in Nevada, but then you say, well, Utah has a lower kilowatt hour rate. Well, Utah is predominantly almost 90% coal. In their portfolio. In Nevada, 70% of our portfolio is natural gas, followed by 15% of renewables, about 16% of coal. Arizona also gets coal and nuclear energy. So nuclear and coal are cheaper, but those are public policy decisions that our leadership in Nevada has said we're not going to build those forms of energy. But at the same time, we're benefiting immensely from very, very low natural gas prices that are going to be low for the foreseeable future.
We only got about 45 seconds or so here, but I did want to talk about the RJ reporting this morning that Sharon Angle considering an independent run for CD2. Mary Lau was saying on the program that she thought that it was going to come from the two parties putting forward a candidate, but it certainly doesn't appear to be that way at this point. Your thoughts, John Sandy, the fourth.
Well, right now it looks like that it's going to be a free-for-all. You're going to have a lot of names put in there. You have Senator Brower already kind of get himself out front. I would anticipate once the governor makes his appointment, I would, assuming it is Heller, which we're all making that assumption, that CD2 opens up, and I think you're going to see a mad dash, and there's going to be a lot of names thrown in there.
Trey?
Angle will take away votes from whoever the Republicans are, and there's a much better chance, especially if it's a free-for-all, for a Democrat to take CD2.
Tony?
Redistricting is going to be fascinating. So what we're seeing right now, which a lot of this is going to end up in litigation, so the lawyers are going to end up winning. We're going to see just this repeated for the next couple of years. It's going to be a very exciting time, and I couldn't tell you right now who's going to win.
Samantha, you want the last word on this?
I may have to cover this race. I'm not covering.
Wow, what a great place to be. We'll be right back on Nevada News.
After the age of 40, most women get into the mirror and they do a little temporary fix. When you have the quick lift on, it's not a temporary in the mirror thing, it's lasting.
Look completely refreshed and years younger in one easy step.
I feel amazing. I never thought a quick procedure could be that easy and have such a great result.
Be one of the thousands of women just like Janet who are enjoying the lasting beauty of the quick lift. Call 1-800-321-LIFT today.
Just when you thought you were done with your paint project, you discover paint bleed under your tape. Not anymore. With patented Frog Tape. Frog Tape is the only tape treated with paint block technology. Watch how it works. Paint block reacts with water, simulating latex paint, and instantly gels to form a micro barrier that seals the edges of the tape, preventing paint bleed. Look at the results. With Frog Tape, no messy lines, no paint bleed. Frog Tape keeps paint out, keeps lines sharp.
Available at all fine home centers, hardware, and paint retailers.
For your gold, get more money with less hassle from the experts at Northern Nevada Coin.
I'm Alan Rowe, owner of Northern Nevada Coin. Want the most money for your unwanted gold jewelry, gold and silver bullion, or collection of rare coins? Come see us at our new store in Reno or in Carson City. Visit your friendly local gold experts at either Northern Nevada Coin store.
In downtown Carson City next to the Nugget, and now in Reno at the Costco Shopping Center. Same gold, more money, less hassle. Northern Nevada Coin.
News 4's Fact Finder team, going the extra step to get the facts.
If the city's broke, why is it giving out money right now?
When accuracy matters, turn to News 4, Nevada's Fact Finders.
Congratulations. I'm sure you'll have many happy years here, except for you, because you'll be gone 3 years from now, struck down by the same disease that got your father. Sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test.
For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
On our next broadcast, Carol Velardo from the Nevada Taxpayers Association.
We'll see you then.